Here we are, another episode. I love Brad Nichols' podcast. Do you love Brad? Do you love Brad Nichols' podcast? Of course you do.
I love Brad Nichols' podcast. It's my podcast.
All right, here we are. This is going to be a misc. I want it to be a misc. I haven't made a misc where it's like 10 things we talk about in a while. And I want to do that. I want it to be a misc where I'm talking about fucking this thing over here. And I'm talking about this thing over there. That's what it's going to be. I just got back from my latest trip a few days ago. I went to Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Liechtenstein. My 48th, 49th, and 50th country. I fucking have done it, man. I have visited over a quarter of the world's sovereign countries. How fucking special is that? It's very special. It is special. Very special. But it's not enough, of course. The mission is every country. And I will not be satisfied with this mission. This special mission. Until I have done all of them. Special mission is every country, and that's what I'm going to do. But it's cool. It's cool that I've got to 50, and it's a number where it's like, I don't really care about 50 the number per se, but it is one of those round numbers. It's one of those numbers where it's like 50 countries. Yes! Personally, my favorite number is 58. It has always been 58. And I think you know that, because when I talked about becoming the 58th President of the United States, I probably told you then, didn't I? I did in that episode. And we got Cenk Uygur. He's fucking moving the ball forward a bit, isn't he? He's moving the ball forward for me. Funny thing with Cenk and his presidential run is that I actually told him to do it, and then he did it, and that's very funny because I've probably said some horrible things about Cenk Uygur before, but I've said some nice things as well. But look at it, it's Cenk Uygur. He's the one that's doing it. He's calling himself a proxy as well for other candidates to jump in the race, but at the same time, he's in it to win it. He's determined to win the thing. And yeah, it's yeah. But thank you, Cenk Uygur. I told you to do it. I wrote on bradnichols.com that people like Cenk Uygur and other naturalized American citizens should run for President of the United States to get the conversation going. And so that I can see what the reaction is. And I can see, you know, it's a test case. Cenk Uygur is a test case. Test case Cenk Uygur, and I'm very happy about it. And I also like that I found out about it from Kyle Kuklinski. I did. I saw it on a fucking YouTube video coming up with Cenk Uygur is running for president, and then he went into it. I watched the video of Kyle. Yeah. I love when people do as I say. You know, and also when they're doing it, like, genuinely, they think for themselves as well, and they're really fucking into it and passionate about it, and they, you know, it's in their self-interest as well. I fucking love it. So I wish Cenk Uygur all the best. I wish him all the best. I don't want him to win. I want him to move the ball forward, but I don't want him to, you know, win the presidency. But look, if he does, then it's fucking America is what it is. And it, literally anything can happen in the United States of America. So, yeah. If it happens, it happens. I do believe that. I think it's true. I mean, you fucking just look at the evidence. Look at the fucking presidents they have. Look at the presidents there have been. So, yeah. In terms of America, and especially in terms of American presidential politics, anything is possible. Yeah. How did we get onto that? Me talking about Cenk. I fucking dived into that one, didn't I? From talking about the 50 countries, right? Yeah. This is how we got here. Talking about the 50 countries. Talking about how 50 isn't my favorite number, 58, is. And then I talked about the episode where I talking about becoming the 58th president of the United States. And then we get onto Cenk Uygur's presidential run. Cenk for America. That's how it happened. This is podcasting. And today we're MISC podcasting. Casting. That's what we're doing. I'm fucking you for the microphone. And you're enjoying it. Okay, let's talk about this. Look, 50 countries is a cool thing. It's a cool thing. I'm happy about it. When I got the 50 countries, when I got on that fucking bus from Sargans in Switzerland to Liechtenstein, and we crossed the border into Liechtenstein on this beautiful lime bus, I was so fucking happy about it. And I got off early. I was on the way to Vaduz, the capital of Liechtenstein, where I did stay. But I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get off early. So I got off in the southern village of Liechtenstein. And I went into a church. And I was very happy. The mountains were there. And just everything. It was great. It was. And I saw some cows. Talked to some cows on the street. And I was walking around in the sunshine. And I was singing songs and talking to myself. And yeah. I'm very happy about it. But it doesn't fucking stop. It keeps going and going and going. And I will be... It's only fucking 10 days now until I'll be leaving for my next trip. Asia Trip 7. Which begins in Romania. Funnily enough. But yeah, we are... Romania will be like an add-on. It will be a prelude. Get Romania done. 4 days. Four days in Romania. And then on to the UAE. And the rest of the year will be spent back in Asia. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to be a great trip. They're always great trips. They are. And this is going to be a great trip. This was a great trip. The one I've just come from. And the one I'm going on will be a great trip. And I'm going to do something in the next episode. The next episode is a ranking of the 50 countries I've visited so far. I'm going to rank them. I'm going to pick them out and put a number to them. And then probably when I listen back to it, I'll be infuriated that I chose this one here and I put this one there. It's like, yeah, it will probably infuriate me. But I feel like doing it now. I didn't make that episode before. I made the ranking episode a while ago when I was on, you know, still 30 something countries, I think, or 40 countries. I made it, but I threw it away. But this one, it's definitely going up. So become a patron. Become a member of this club. The club! Become a member of the club if you want to listen to that. It's going to be a fun one. And this one's going to be a fun one. Let's talk about child rape in Bolivia. I read this fucking article today. Fucking get a load of this headline. Threats against rape victim 10 lay bare Bolivia's culture of sexual violence. She's 10 years old. And they're threatening her and her family. Supporters of alleged rapist girl's 39-year-old headmaster stormed police station in effort to prevent arrest. These people are supporting the rapist of a 10-year-old girl. This 39-year-old headmaster of a school in Bolivia. And they stormed the fucking police station to prevent him from being arrested. Like, what? Apparently Bolivia is very bad about sexual assault and child rape and all this stuff. It's got a history with all this stuff. And it just seems very fucked up. You know, 1 in 3 girls, it says in this article, 1 in 3 girls experience sexual violence before the age of 18 in Bolivia. That seems high. And that's according to the International Women's Rights Organization, Equality Now. So they've got some skin in the game there. They might be, you know, playing with those numbers. But 1 in 3, even if it's 1 in 5, even if it's 1 in 10, it's a horrible experience. It is. And I wouldn't want to be a girl. I wouldn't want to be a woman. Because this shit is rife. And the Me Too movement came along. And then it happened. And then it fell away. And now we're left with not many changes, I feel like. I feel like there was this big explosion of, oh, fuck. Shouldn't be touching women. Shouldn't be raping women. Oh, fuck. And then some people, there were some consequences for some people. And then people got fucking tired of it. You know, it's a funny thing. People get tired of the morality. People get tired of the victims being victims. They don't want to fucking hear about it. They want to hear about it for a certain amount of time. But there's a limit. There's a limit to people caring about sexual assault and rape. That's what it becomes. It becomes, again, sexual assault and rape. And it doesn't help that there are women and there are men who lie about these things and that muddy the waters. You know, those they do exist and they do happen. And it doesn't also help that one of the things that happened in Me Too was this push to believe all women. Believe all women. It was so fucking counterproductive. Because when you say something like that, you are opening up the gates of just freedom for the people who actually do these things. Because anyone who's a reasonable person, anyone who thinks, you know, even a fucking little bit, even if these fucking people thinking a little bit, just, oh, I think somewhat. I'm a fucking somewhat thinking person. These people, okay, I think a lot. I think so much. But some people, they think not so much. Look, a lot of people who thinking about it would and do feel like it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to believe all women. And when people push that, when society pushes that, it's massively counterproductive. Because then you have this thing hanging over everyone's head where it's like, believe all women. And then most people think that's fucking ridiculous to believe all women no matter what. It went in a bad direction, the Me Too movement. It had promise. I'm not going to say it didn't. It was actually in the beginning, and some of the things that happened, some of the true monsters that were caught and went away and did have consequences because of it. It was a positive thing there, but they ruined it. Okay. Women are always ruining everything. Let's blame the women. The women had their Me Too movement and then they fucking ruined it. Okay. I'm not even sure if it was the women. I'm sure the women would blame the men, though, wouldn't they? Most of them, anyway. Anyway, fucking Bolivia, sort it out, mate. 1 in 3 girls. And look, I actually believe that. I don't think they're all getting raped. I don't even think they're saying that they're all getting raped. But I can see 1 in 3 girls experience some kind of sexual violence before the age of 18. Like, people grabbing their tits. Their little tits. People sticking a finger up their ass. People just, you know, a bit of a rough and tumble with the 12-year-old. I can see that. It's a sick world. We live in a sick world. I've said it many times before. We live in a sick world full of pedophiles. And there is a very significant minority of people on this planet that want to have sex with children. Okay, there just is. Because even the official number is quite high. It's like, we've talked about this before. It's like 2, 3, 4% or something. It's like 3 or 4% or something. It's a high number. And that's the people that, you know, they think are pedophiles. But what about all the actual smart pedophiles. You've got to account for them. And they don't usually do that. They're only like talking about the people who are caught and extrapolating from that. But yeah, a lot of pedophiles aren't caught. It's fucking obvious. But Bolivia, you know what? When I go to Bolivia, I will solve it. I'll become dictator of Bolivia and solve that problem. Alright, what's going on in the war? They finally opened. Which war? Ukraine or Israel? Of course Israel. No one gives a fuck about the Ukraine war anymore. This is the best thing that could have ever happened for Vladimir Putin. Because no one cares about Ukraine. Ukraine is old news. What was that? Like 2021? 2022? 2022! That's fucking decades ago. Centuries. We got fucking Israel now. We got fucking Gaza. We got fucking Hamas. Hamas. Very interesting name for a terrorist organization. Hamas. Sounds like some kind of fucking dipping sauce. Hamas. Got your fucking hummus. You got your fucking Hamas. Get your fucking hungry. It's getting me hungry. It is. Hamas gets me hungry, whatever they say. My mouth is watering. My mouth is watering. So today, the war that everyone cares about for the next at least 4 months. And then it will go away. It will be replaced by something else. But this Israel-Hamas war. The aid trucks have finally entered Gaza as the Rafah crossing on the border with Egypt opens. 20 trucks they're talking about. They're talking about 20 trucks for over 2 million people. And I think it's just medical supplies. It seems like they're just medical supplies. No food. No water. Nothing else. For people who haven't had their legs blown off yet. Who haven't been severely maimed. Torn to pieces yet. Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. The national sport in Israel. The fucking sport they love the most. Is losing the moral high ground. It really is. They fucking love it. Fucking masturbate to it. And they eat their own cum. That's how much they love that sport. But do we really want to go into it more though? Do we really want to go into this more? No, we fucking don't. I'm sick of this war already. It was fun at first. It was interesting at first. But it's a bit boring now. It's boring. These human things where it's like this side is obviously correct. But then this side is portrayed as being obviously correct. The mainstream, of course, portrays Israel as being the one that's always in the right. And the Palestinians as the ones that are always in the wrong. And it's such an insidious fucking thing. And here we are talking about it. Yeah, let's fucking talk about it. Fuck it. It's such an insidious thing. Because we all know it's bullshit when someone who supports Israel. Someone like fucking Piers Morgan. That kind of fucking sloppy potato fuck. Where it's like, I know. I care so much about the children of Palestine. And I agree with you. I agree with you. Palestinian person. I too. Blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah, Palestine. But then they side with Israel. And they apologize for Israel. They excuse Israel. And they still make it seem like Israel is doing the right thing in this situation. You know? And it's... Piers Morgan is just one example. But it's widespread throughout the media. But I am seeing cracks in it. At the same time, there have been a few cracks in it. There have been a few reporters, Western media reporters, who have and said what the truth is. That, yeah, Hamas did a horrible fucked up thing. A horrible fucked up terrorist attack against Israel. Shouldn't have done it in that way, like that. Shouldn't have done it against civilians like that. All right. Now, But the response Israel has executed here is fucking beyond the pale. It is 100 times worse. It's 10 times worse, and it's going to be 100 times worse than anything Hamas did to Israel. And it's collective punishment. It's not against Hamas. Human shields. Fuck off. Human shields. No, it's not. It's against the people of Gaza. It's against the Palestinian people. And we all fucking know it. It's obvious that you're just trying to kill them all. Slowly. Not even slowly. In different ways. You know, you're trying to bomb them. You're trying to starve them. You're trying to dehydrate them. You're trying to do all this fucking rough stuff. Rough stuff. Rough stuff. Rough stuff. That you probably think is quite fun stuff to the Israeli state. They just want to get rid of them. They're a problem, people. And they, honestly, if they could put them in fucking gas chambers, they would. If they could get away with that, they fucking would. And is that even controversial? I feel like people will be aghast. I can't believe he said that. Oh. But it's true. The way they treat them. They're bombing churches. They're bombing hospitals. And then they're pretending like, oh, we're not bombing hospitals. We didn't bomb the hospital. They pretended like they didn't bomb that hospital. And then ran away and, you know, most likely manufactured evidence to pretend like they didn't. But they have fucking, it's known, it's acknowledged by everyone on all sides that Israel has in the past frequently bombed hospitals, schools, churches. So it's not like, oh, like this one is any different. The only thing is, well, there is a difference. The difference is that it killed a lot of people in one big go, you know, hundreds. And there was a outcry, and the world, the opinions of the people of the world, were already turning against Israel. They were already starting to turn a lot. So Israel decided, oh fuck, if this is known that we did this, then things could really turn against us. This could cause problems for our destruction of the Palestinian people. So let's just pretend we didn't do this one. Just this one, yeah, just this one. Because everyone's fucking freaking out about it. I mean, they'll find out in a few months we did it, or a few weeks we did it, but then, you know, the world would have moved on, and people won't be caring about that much anyway. We all know this is what's happening. We all know this is what's happening. So they get 20 trucks. The Gazans get 20 trucks. And yet they still die. They die from the air, they die from the lack of resources that Israel is keeping from them, as they turned off the fucking taps. They've stopped the flow of essential resources going in to Gaza. And soon they're most likely going to be dying from the ground as well. But they think this is going to be easy. This ain't going to be fucking easy, man. It doesn't fucking matter. You roll those tanks in, you roll all your guns in, and your helmets, and your fucking body armor, and your fucking special sunglasses. You roll all of them in, and it could be a fucking bloodbath for the IDF. I mean, because this is it. This is the war. They're saying, we are going to wipe Hamas off the face of this earth, and we're going to take Gaza with them as well. So this is the fucking fight. And those people are going to fucking fight, knowing that they have no future. Most likely, anyway, they're going to give everything. Because if there's this state that's, you know, did come and take all their fucking land away, that is what happened. They were given all this land and pushed aside. And now this state is saying, this is it. This is the end. We're going to destroy you. They're going to fight with everything they've got. So, look, Israel, they got the fucking weapons. They got the fucking nukes. They got the fucking allies. But it's not going to be easy, and there's going to be a lot of casualties on the Israeli side. The losses are going to be tremendous to the Israelis if they really do this, if they really do go in for the ground invasion. Oh, a lot of those soldiers are going to die. They really are. And they might not even win. Okay, it's not inevitable. It doesn't fucking matter what you do from the air. It doesn't fucking matter what you do on the ground. These people are survivors. They've survived for decades under incredibly harsh, an incredibly harsh situation that you've put them in. These people are survivors. You know, they were born in the darkness. And they don't fucking give a shit about dying. Because they're dying for something they truly believe in. And they're going to give it everything. They're going to give it fucking everything. And in a situation where it's urban warfare like that, building to building, street to fucking street, there could be a big surprise. And who knows, you know? Who knows what's going to happen? The only thing that is guaranteed is more misery, is more bloodshed, is more disaster. That's what's going to fucking happen. And look, we got it great here in the West. Europe. America. We got it great in the West. Because we can just sit back and fucking watch it taking place. You know? Israel is a very special country, and it's in a very special region, and it has a very special place on the map of the world. And there's a fucking reason why the West needed, maybe not needed, but it's just very beneficial that there is a country with that shape, in that place, in that position, splitting the Muslims, the beautiful Muslims of Northern Africa, with the Muslims, the beautiful Muslims of Arabia, of the Middle East, of these places. To have a Western ally right there, splitting it down the middle in such a strategic place. Such a very strategic place. Very beneficial. Very beneficial. Yeah. And look. I'm in the Freedom Club, baby. I love the Freedom Club. One day I will own and rule and run the Freedom Club. So having that Western ally there is beneficial to me. It's in my self-interest. But I fucking... You know what I fucking love? I love class. I love doing things in classy ways, in interesting ways, in truly genius ways. And the Israelis, they don't have any fucking class. It's too fucking obvious. It's too fucking cute. And I don't like it. I don't. It's not genius what they're doing. It's trashy. And, you know, just gaudy. I don't like that. I don't like that. Fucking.
All this shit.
I am back on the Pepsi Max, no caffeine. That's what I'm back on. I've been telling these bitches it's whiskey and these bitches be believing me. It's whiskey. And they're so impressed. They're so impressed how I'm down in all this whiskey. It's not whiskey, it's Pepsi Max. No caffeine. It's not even caffeine in it. Alright, this is the episode. That's the episode. This was Lemisk. I don't know what I'm going to call this one. It's going to be a fun name. They're always fun names. Yeah. See you in the next one.